Welcome to Be My Guest with your hostess, Charlotte Cosden. Be My Guest is an innovative, informative program that will familiarize you with local ministries or businesses as a means of serving our listening audience, as well as give the directors of these worth-mentioning services the opportunity to answer your related questions. And now, here's Charlotte.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Be My Guest, which is aired each Wednesday at 3 o'clock. I'm the director and founder of Be My Guest, and I thoroughly enjoy interviewing different ministries and professions on this particular show. On today's broadcast, I've invited my husband, Pastor Dave Cosden, to come on with me, seeing that he has a profound interest in the Jewish community, which shouldn't come as a surprise to you because he has taught many sermons on Teaching Truth Ministries. Welcome, Dave.
Thank you again, Charlotte.
And we are about to interview a gentleman whom I know that you will be delighted to learn more about. He is the founder and director of Ami Ministries, raised in an Orthodox home in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and his family attended synagogue as well as maintained Jewish traditions in their home. Let's give a warm welcome today to Reverend Ron Elkham. Welcome.
Yes, hi. It's great to be here today. I'm glad to meet Charlotte and Dave.
Yes.
Thank you, Ron.
Okay. Now, I wanted to, we have several questions lined up for today's interview. But did you want to start off with the first one, Dave?
I think one of the first questions is, you know, on Ron's website, which is speaking about a little bit about his bio, I'd like to ask him, you know, what was his the traditions in the Jewish home that you had?
Sure. My mother was raised very strict Orthodox, and okay. So she kept kosher.
Okay.
Which meant we did not eat meat and dairy at the same meal. We had separate silverware for
and
each
no pork,
type.
Right.
No, of course, no shellfish and no pork.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we also went to my mother would light the Shabbat candles every Friday night at the prescribed time that the rabbis say the sun was setting, and she would chant the traditional prayer welcoming the Sabbath, and then we would eat a nice meal and go off to synagogue and celebrate the beginning of the Sabbath.
Okay.
And then the next morning, we'd also go to synagogue.
Okay.
And we would also celebrate, of course, Passover,
right,
when that took place, and light the Hanukkah candles for Hanukkah.
Yes.
And we would fast on Yom Kippur and spend the entire day. First, we go in the evening. Now, the Jewish day starts in the evening at sundown,
right,
and concludes at the following day on sundown. So we would start the Yom Kippur at sundown in the synagogue, and we would fast and then come back the next day and spend the entire day in the synagogue. And that's just a little taste of what we did.
Okay.
All right. Now, Ron, I know for a short time you were an atheist, but while a teenager, you began to consider the reality of God. Tell me more.
Well, I grew up believing in God and would go to Hebrew school in addition to public school and learned how to read Genesis in Hebrew. And I was a God believer. But somewhere in my teens, I began to doubt the reality of God. Looking at all the trouble in the world and looking at some of the trouble in our own family,
okay,
I began to say, well, where is God with all this evil that's going on? And so for a while, I did become, you know, agnostic. I mean, I call myself atheist, but I was really more angry at God for not straightening everything out.
Yes.
And then later on in my late teens, I began to get involved with the New Age ideas, astrology, Edgar
yoga.
Cayce. Later I got involved with yoga and went to India and spent time there and began to really do a spiritual search for about 12 years. From the time of, let's say, 19 to 31, I was on a pilgrimage, which included spending time in India and getting into yoga and meditation and being a vegetarian. And getting into good deeds,
right?
Trying to be a good person,
yes,
and thinking good thoughts, and coming up empty with all that.
That was going to be my next question, and you found all this wanting, right?
It sure did.
Completely empty.
Yeah, matter of fact, God was very gracious to me. I had a constant prayer through all this search, which is, God, I want to know the truth. Once I believed there was something higher, something out there, I began to say, God, I want to know the truth. Why? You know, what's going on? What's the purpose of life? And God convicted me of my personal sins.
Okay.
And that's when I tried to do a lot of help. I went from Philadelphia After I came back from India, I moved out to California.
California, yeah.
And there I lived trying to help people. I actually set up two community organizations that were funded by the government, which they still exist to this day. And I've helped probably thousands of people.
Good.
And I did that purposely as a way of getting right with God.
All right.
But God did not give me peace through all those efforts.
Right.
Even when they were accomplished, even though people were being helped,
right.
I still had that sense of separation between me and God.
Yes.
And when I was meditating during the yoga period, I would come up frustrated because I knew I was yearning to touch God and came up short.
Okay.
And people witnessed to me during this time, told me about Jesus, and I said, well, it's not really true. I'm Jewish also, and the Christians persecuted the Jewish people, so...
Right.
Why should I believe what you're telling me, that he's the only way? Mm. Look at all these other good people out there that are following other religions.
Yeah.
And why should I believe? Since, you know, look at what happened between the church and the Jewish people. How could this be the only way?
Right.
But God was faithful to answer that question.
So
I want to know the truth. Yep. And he led me little by little through the witness of people and through the Spirit of God to the point where I knew that Jesus really was the answer. But I still resist it for a number of reasons.
Okay.
Well, Ron, question here. What do you feel are the two main obstacles believing the good news?
Right. This is why I resist it. And it would be a common answer for most Jewish people. It was the persecution of the church against the Jewish people.
Yes.
That would be a historical reason.
Sure.
Okay.
And then there's the familiar reason, in other words, the family and the rejection that would take place if you believe in Jesus, since it's considered to be, you're considered to be a traitor to the Jewish community.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I had gotten away from Judaism, even though I had originally been part of it, I sort of gotten into the search, I felt like my world was turning upside down when I started to consider believing in Jesus.
Oh.
I said, well, who would I be? How can I do this? But God was faithful in my life and enabled me to have that element of faith to see that Jesus really did die for my sins and that he was the Jewish way to believe in Jesus, to believe and become united with God.
United with
the
God.
The second obstacle is the theological reason.
Mm-hmm.
The rabbis teach that Jesus is not the Messiah. Most Jewish people are not biblical readers, so they do not understand all the prophecies that Christians are exposed to that point to Jesus in the Old Testament.
Okay, so they read the Torah, but they really don't read into it.
Well, in the synagogue, going through the Sabbath service, we read through a traditional Sabbath service. You read through the Torah in 1 year. But it's a very ritualistic situation, and there's not consistent study of the scriptures in a way, particularly when it comes to the prophecies. And there's obscuring that takes place to some degree.
Yes.
And that's another reason why Jewish people find it hard to believe in Jesus. What the rabbis teach and the fact that personally they would be rejected by the community.
Mm-hmm.
I went through all those things.
Okay.
But eventually God's grace won out and enabled me at 31 to bend the knee to Jesus.
Mm. Now, so how did he personally reveal himself to you one on one?
Okay, there was the testimony of people to me, witnessing to me, and some scriptures started to rattle around in my head and start to convict me.
Okay.
There was the conviction of the Holy Spirit about my personal sins that were separating me from God.
Yes.
And then God gave me the grace to have an actual spiritual experience where I felt the very presence of Jesus. And he basically, not an exterior voice, but inside my mind, said to me that he loved me, that he died for my sins, and he wanted me to find shalom.
Yes.
He wanted me to find peace. That lifted me up so much that I began to praise God verbally and make up poetry and songs to God.
Wow.
And I wasn't even a believer yet. I wasn't an open believer.
Yes, okay.
And I actually
went. So it really is a divine act of mercy on God's part, right, Ron?
Exactly.
And it's supernatural.
Yeah.
Exactly. This type of experience is happening for not only Jewish people, but Muslims. Mm. God often has to intervene with people that are seeped into a strong tradition that is against the gospel. And he does, by God's mercy.
Well, you know, one thing you keep saying, Ron, and it keeps coming back, is God is faithful. And I appreciate that, because every time you do say that, it just brings out that word, God is faithful.
Exactly, So I would sum it up by saying maybe obstacle number one is tradition, and secondly, pride.
That's right.
And
that's
all
right.
of us can relate to that,
Yes,
right?
There is the element of pride.
Okay.
You know, why do I – that was something I forgot to mention.
Yeah.
I remember consciously saying to God, arguing with God, why do I need someone between me and you?
Yeah.
Why can't I come directly to you?
There you go. Trying to figure it all out.
Because you're not good enough.
Trying to figure it all out, Ron, as we always try to do. Okay, now, summed up on that, just tell us, by the way, if you're just joining us, this is Charlotte Cosden. We are pre-recording this because we're expecting some snow tomorrow, but you'll hear it Wednesday at 3 p.m. On the Be My Guest broadcast, along with my husband, Pastor Dave Cosden. I've invited him to take a part in this particular interview because God has given him such a burden for the Jewish people. And I am right now, we are interviewing Reverend Ron Elkin, and he is with the Ami Ministry. Now, why is it so hard for Jewish people to believe? Ron, tell us.
Well, this is the reason we started Ami Ministry. This ministry is going on about 30 years old.
Okay.
And is it 30 years?
Yes. Wow. Yes. And and we started at a Center City church in downtown Philadelphia, which was surrounded by a large number of Jewish people. Many Jewish people live in Center City.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Church had a very large mission budget, over $250,000. And yet nothing was geared towards the Jewish community. And so a group of us formed, as I was the founder, and pulled some people together, including some elders in the church. And we began to talk with the leadership, and they began to support our ministry. And we started as a general outreach ministry where we invited the Jewish community to come to special events like a Passover dinner or Hanukkah party. We had movie nights, and then we'd always have somebody, a Jewish Christian, give a testimony. And so that's one of the founding part of Ami. The word Ami itself is part of the explanation of who we are. It comes from Isaiah 40, verse 1, that says, comfort ye my people. And the Ami means my people. And we cannot think of any greater comfort than for a person to come into a relationship with the living God and be blessed with eternal life. And so our purpose is twofold. Ami's ministry is to bring the gospel to the Jewish community through our own outreach, and also to train and help Christians witness to their Jewish context. Many times Jewish people become Christians through the loving witness of a Gentile. And then we can kind of come alongside of that Gentile Christian and help them in their efforts to witness to their Jewish contact, their friend, their neighbor, co-worker. We have material to share with people. If anybody contact us through our website, through our email, we want to help them. I'm willing to tutor people one-to-one. I'm willing to send them a 3.5 primer on how to witness to Jewish people. They can just email me or call us, and we can email this 3.5 page document to them. And the obstacles that I experienced are the same that most Jewish people experience. One, they're not biblically literate. And then there's a history of the persecution of the church against the Jewish people. And the rabbis teach that Jesus is not the Messiah. And this is a real problem because most Jewish people believe their leadership. And so our ministry was geared up to set to reach people in this way. And we have a lot of other things we do with the ministry, which I'll share as you ask more questions.
Yes. Okay. Now, I want to give your website at this point, just in case somebody has to turn off the station, you know, prematurely, whatever. You don't get it all today in this half hour. We're interviewing Ron Elkin, and he is the founder and director of Ami. And you can go online for more information. Jot this down, because maybe not today, but maybe tomorrow you'll be saying, oh, I wish I had heard the broadcast or the whole thing. It's ammiministry.org. That's ammiministry.org. Okay. Now, if somebody wants to reach you by telephone, maybe there is somebody out there searching. Ron, what telephone number do you want to give?
It'd be 215-843-1764.
Okay. So get that down, 215-843-1764. Okay, Dave, do you have a question?
Okay. I think I'd like to have you share some of your ministries that you have here. I see in the one brochure that you did bring that you're standing there with a megaphone. And that says to me that you are out there saying something because you have something on your heart. So you want to share that?
Sure.
Okay.
As I mentioned, part of our ministry is to bring the gospel to Jewish communities. So we did that literally by we have distributed over 1 million tracts in Philadelphia, downtown area particularly, also up the northeast area among the Russian Jewish community.
Okay.
Pittsburgh, did a lot of ministry in Pittsburgh, and also Atlantic City. We've had usually week-long witnessing campaigns, wearing a special T-shirt that is a white Jewish star. If you get close, it spells the name Jesus. So it's pretty obvious we're saying there's a Jewishness about Jesus.
Absolutely.
And we have people get angry with us. We have people get curious. And we're out there as a walking advertisement for the Lord. So we're looking for contacts, people that God has stirred up to want to know about the truth, and then we follow up and minister to them.
Okay.
We also do a teaching ministry where we go into churches and have seminars on how to witness the Jewish community.
Very important.
I've been blessed by God and been able to teach from California all the way through the rest of America.
Okay.
And particularly in the southern states.
Right.
We spent a lot of time in the south, in Texas, and Florida, and so on. And any church member listening out there that would like to have us come, please contact us.
Okay.
We also teach on the Jewish roots of Christianity. We show from the through the Jewish Feast of Israel the prophetic picture of Jesus, past, present, and future.
Wow.
Everything is laid out by God through these seven feasts.
Okay.
And they were given not only for to remember God by the people of Israel, because they're all set up by God to repent and to remember his provision for them and to pray to him and to remember how good he's been to them. But they're also pictures of Jesus. And there's details in these feasts that are so strongly prophetic that if one looks at that, they clearly see Jesus.
Yes.
We also teach about the Jewish Messianic Scriptures and how they point to Jesus and how the Jewish community handles them, where they kind of sometimes obscure the meaning or turn it away from Jesus. For example, Isaiah 53 is a good example.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Isaiah 53. So how did Jewish people perceive that verse,
Well,
Ron?
There was a famous rabbi who's actually one of the better interpreters of the Scriptures. He's more literal than some of the other rabbis. His name is Rashi, 12th century French rabbi. He was one of the first rabbis to come up with the idea that Isaiah 53 is not talking about an individual, but talking about Israel. And if you look through Isaiah 53,
so talking about the whole nation of Israel.
That's right. And the rabbis of his day said, Rashi, what are you doing? You're twisting the Hebrew in order to confront the Christians and turn away from what they're saying. But the Hebrew is very much like English. It's, in other words, if you have a single pronoun, if you look through Isaiah 53, it says, he was oppressed for our sins. He was passed through for our transgressions. The word he there is a single pronoun.
Yes.
And they said, Rashi, you're twisting the Hebrew, and it's not correct. And so while they didn't believe in Jesus, these rabbis, they did believe this was in some way talking about a future Messiah, what they call Messiah ben Joseph, the suffering Joseph who was imprisoned and all that. They say this is the suffering Messiah. There's also Messiah ben David, the triumphal Messiah. They say two different Messiahs. And one will conquer and lead Israel back into their rightful place. So they do see this as referring to Israel. And so there's a whole twist there.
And who can better teach us how to witness to You know what I mean? The Jewish people.
Yeah.
Who better than a Jewish man, Orthodox Jewish man himself, raised up right here in Philadelphia and attended synagogue and maintained these Jewish traditions in their home on a regular basis. You know, who better can teach? So if you would like Ron to come to your church, your local church, and teach your people, you know, maybe you can't, you know, that's a prideful thing if you're a pastor and you're saying, well, I could do that. No, wait a minute. This man is a Jewish man with a passion. He's ordained of God himself to teach about how can you better witness to the Jewish people? And it is different. I don't care what anybody says. It's different. I mean, that's a tough nut to crack sometimes, right? Because of the reasons you just expressed, Ron. Yeah.
There's a lot of fear. Even if a Jewish person is approaching some faith towards Jesus, there's a lot of fear. And so Christians need to be gentle, understanding the emotional difficulties that are involved.
And have the wisdom.
Right.
And
be supportive. By the way, we also lead groups to Israel.
Okay.
We just did one in March of last year. And I'm going to be going on a short-term mission trip to Israel in May, and where we're going to be connecting with different ministries that are helping Jewish people there believe in Jesus.
Okay.
And then we're looking to take other American Christians back to be assisting these ministries, as well as we do biblical tours of Israel.
Okay.
So if somebody is interested in going to Israel, this would be a good opportunity for them to get in touch with us, and we'll inform them about these journeys as they're taking place.
Okay, and they can reach you through email as well, right?
Sure, of course.
And that would be ammi.ministry@verizon.net. ammi.ministry@verizon.net. Or go online for more information, www.ammiministry.org. Okay. So tell me more about Isaiah 53.
Sure. Well, it's very clear that the one picture there is being pierced through for our transgressions, and the summation of this is that God gave Israel the sacrificial system as the way to make atonement for sins.
Okay.
So this dovetails with what God gave Israel through Moses. In other words, there has to be a blood atonement.
Yes.
This is why Jesus,
amen,
even though Jesus is God,
mm-hmm,
he also is fully human. So that he could actually literally bleed. He wasn't a phantom, as some heresies were teaching in the early church. He literally had to bleed because it's the blood that brings atonement.
Yes.
That's what it says in Leviticus 17:11. Mm-hmm. And that's why when we kosher a meat, we hang the animal upside down and slit the vein in such a way that the animal dies quickly. It's actually fairly painless for the animal.
Okay.
Right.
But we want to drain as much blood out of the animal as possible. My mother would buy a piece of meat at the kosher butcher. Mm-hmm. She would take it home and put it in a basin and put salt, koshering salt on it, to even draw more blood out of it.
Wow.
So that, and then she would cook it. And when I asked my mother, who, you know, after I believed in Jesus, Mom, why are you doing that? She says, well, it's what we're taught to do.
Mm.
But she didn't know about the idea of the blood atonement. Many Jewish people today, it's absent from the teaching within the synagogue. Even though it's there in the Torah and they read about it, it's considered to be not necessary today because we substitute it with being charitable, being giving, and doing good deeds.
Wow, and that's the whole gospel, right?
And
there,
so it
the
becomes
Jesus,
right. So instead of it being a religion of mercy, not that there's not mercifulness attitude in Judaism, there is. There's Judaism, Jewish people are very helpful to those in need, and very much so. I was just reading about how Israel is helping people in many occasions, even their enemies.
All right. Yes.
But it becomes a religion of works. Versus. Understanding the need of the mercy and forgiveness of God through his way, which is the blood atonement. So that's why the Isaiah 53 is so important, because it's a picture not only of the Messiah, suffering for our sins, but literally dying for it. And then it pictures the resurrection in the last verses.
Okay.
You know, he will live to see, even though he is cut off for our transgressions, cut off there means he's killed. And yet it says he will live again to see his followers. So you have the picture of the resurrection as well. One other thing that's important about our ministry is we're trying to help Christians here in America understand the incredible and horrible increase of anti-Semitism in the world. It's an irrational, satanically inspired hatred of Jewish people. And it's so obvious that God is still somehow involved with the Jewish people. They need to believe in Jesus to be saved. And yet historically and in the present time, God is still involved with them. Or why else would Satan inspire such hatred towards this community?
Absolutely.
What nation doesn't have a right to defend itself?
That's right.
Still involved.
Yeah.
Very
theology.
Okay. Now, we still have about a minute left, and, and I just want to hear a little bit about Jackie, your wife. When you return to Philadelphia, hi, Jackie. We did speak on the phone, if you're out there listening today, which I'm sure you are. So tell me a little bit about you came and married her after.
Yes, she's also a Jewish Christian, and we both came to the Lord separate before we met each other.
Separately, okay.
God brought us together.
Wow.
And she's a graphic designer, many of our tracks. She has designed many of our tracks. She's designed our advertisements. When we've had, we've worked a lot of times with the Russian Jewish community in Northeast Philly. We've had concerts and all type of things. She's designed all the advertisements, and she's also a very lovely lady who the Russian community and the the other Jewish community who meet her really adore.
And
they just
such
find
a
her very
support and a part of
she
your
is,
ministry.
And she's
Ron.
A sweet woman.
Yes, we have closing comments. 30 seconds, Dave.
No, it's just I'm looking at the brochure, and I know for a lack of time, I'd love to go and go over the brochure, but maybe another time we can, you know, share with that what you actually do out there. So that's it.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dave, for being a part of this today on Being My Guest with me.
Thank you, Charlotte.
Thank you, Ron Elkin. Thank you so much.
Amen.
For coming on the broadcast. Okay, and don't forget to go online to ammi.ministry, .org, I'm sorry, or you can email Ron at ammi.ministry@verizon.net. We are so glad you tuned in again today. Please join us again next week at the same time. Best-selling Christian author will be with me of When Leaves Fall. You'll be hearing a lot more about her book in the upcoming future. Vondalyn Shaw is her name, and this is her first novel. She's married with two young sons and is a member of Living Faith Christian Center, as well as a member of Women Walking in the Spirit Ministries. For more information or to purchase a copy of When Leaves Fall, please visit her website at www.vondalynshaw, that's vondalynshaw.com, and then join us again right here on Be My Guest next Wednesday at the same time. For now, I'm Charlotte Cosden. Thank you for being our guest.
We're so glad that you tuned in today to Be My Guest. If you're the director of a local ministry or proprietor of a business in the tri-state area and you would like to be our guest on a live interview, contact Charlotte by calling 610-872-8861 for more details. That number again is 872-8861.